Chapter 10, brother asked me on Wednesday, what are you going to preach on Sunday? I said, dinner with Jesus. There's a lot of food left over. I want to read two passages from Luke 10 and Luke 7, both of them having to do with our subject, dinner with Jesus. Luke 10, 1, now, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whither he himself was about to come. And he said unto them, the harvest indeed is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he send forth laborers into the harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no wallet, no shoes, and salute no man on the way. And into whatsoever house ye shall enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace be there, your peace shall rest upon him. But if not, it shall return to you again, and in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city ye shall enter, and they receive you not, go out into the streets thereof, and say, even the dust from your city that cleaveth to our feet we wipe off against you. Nevertheless know this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh. I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. And now, chapter 7. This is about Simon the Pharisee and the woman who in the city was a sinner, and in verse 44, And turning to the woman, our Savior said unto Simon, Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath wetted my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. Thou gavest me no kiss, but she since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but she hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, when thy Son spoke and acted in the way that is recorded in this word, men marveled, praised God, criticized, blasphemed. Some response took place. Seldom was there indifference. We thank you, Father, that thou hast shown us the way that he behaved, and that you have assured us that we should follow his steps. We are thankful, our God, that having told us what is right and wrong, thou hast shown us in a man what is right and wrong, the man Christ Jesus. We have heard his words, we have read concerning some of the incidents that took place in the days of his flesh, and we desire to learn from them. Lord, as the disciples said, teach us to pray. We ask of thee, our God, that thou shalt teach us how to behave among men, how to behave in the house of God, and how to behave when we are away from the house of God. Teach us, Lord, how to conduct ourselves in an honorable way that is pleasing to you from heaven. We are thankful that we are here this morning, and there is this time set aside to consider the words of thy Son. Teach us by thy Spirit. Cleanse us and purify us and make us worthy to preach these words and prepare the hearts of those who hear. Bless us, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. If you take the Word of God as it is and how the Spirit of God has set it out, you do not have to be worried about the criticisms of people that tell you to preach such and such a way. There are those who have come and said, preach the gospel. I said, the gospel isn't in this portion that we are considering. I've never found any part of the Bible I couldn't put the gospel into. Well, think of this now. Do you think that the Spirit of God who gave us the Word knows how many gospel portions to put in the book and how much teaching to put in the book? You say he should. Well, the Bible does not say preach the gospel all the time. It says preach the gospel to every creature, but it says preach the Word. And if someone is preaching the Word in the proportion of gospel and teaching and reproof and rebuke that the Spirit of God has said in the Word, then certainly he could not be criticized. And so for that reason, if someone said, it seems as if ever so much time has been spent this month on trivial things, such as eating and drinking, things of inconsequence, I want to hear heavenly things. Well, let me ask you, the things I've been telling you about this month, who talked about them? You say, why, Jesus did. Well, did he speak about them one time, or have I read you different scriptures each week? You say, different scriptures, and then given other scriptures? Then the Savior is he who gave all this amount of instruction about eating and drinking. And so you could not criticize me for talking this much about eating and drinking if the Lord Jesus himself talked this much about eating and drinking. Do you understand the significance of that? find out how much the Lord said, how frequently he said it, and then understand if the context, if the situation is the same, and if it is, then follow the example of the Lord. You never have to worry about anything people criticize you for if you follow what is in the Word. And so for that reason, I've told you about dinner with Jesus the past 2 weeks. I expect to tell you about it this week. And in the will of God, there is much food left over. I will tell you about it again for this reason. When you study about eating dinner with people, as well as study about worship in an assembly of God's people, you'll discover two things. That when you are with someone at a remembrance meeting, that person behaves in an entirely different way than he does when you're with that person sitting down at his table eating dinner with him. Do you understand that? I'll never find out who you are at a meeting like this. Let me get in your home and I'll find out something about you. The way your children talk to you, the way you discipline your children, the way you serve the table, what your conversation is when I'm with you, I'll never learn it in this building, but let me in your home and I will. Is that the reason why I haven't been invited in some of your homes? Understand this. Simon the Pharisee. Had you seen Simon the Pharisee in the synagogue, you never would have known him. But the Lord Jesus went home with Simon the Pharisee. And when this woman comes in his house and he sees the Lord Jesus allow her to bestow upon him her worship and gratitude, he says, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman she was. Understand, I now know about Simon the Pharisee. Why? Because he ate dinner with Jesus. I never would have known this had I seen him in the synagogue. That is why the Lord talks so much about eating dinner, being in the homes of people. Because I've had others come and say to me, look, the people are frightened to death of you in the pulpit and so forth. Loosen up, things like that. Why, I would never do such a thing. I am to speak as the oracles of God. But another brother that I'd preached to for years on one occasion took me fishing, and I remember I tied a fish head to the rod and reel, and I threw it in the air when some seagulls were coming along, and one grabbed it, and I had a seagull. And he laughed and said, I never knew that there was any fun and humor in you like that. Well, of course not. There's no frivolity. There is no triviality when you're in the pulpit. That's what some people thrive on. That's why they're invited. Take away their jokes and their scintillating personality and you have nothing, you understand. And so you are to speak as the oracles of God when you're in the pulpit, and you are to behave yourself in such a way when you're in the house of God. But when you get out and you sit down and eat with people, then I know what kind of manners you have. I know how much education you have. I know whether you understand the scriptures ever so much is learned. I can't discover this about you, and you cannot discover it about me unless I get in your home. And so for that reason, that's why the Savior talks about being in people's homes and eating dinner. And today, I read you these portions because our Savior is briefing those that he's sending forth. He's not going to be with them when they go to dinner in people's houses. You say, well, this isn't dinner with Jesus. I anticipated that. The Lord Jesus said, he that receiveth you, receiveth me. And so if you receive me, you have received the Lord Jesus. He himself said so. And the Savior said, he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. And so as Christ's representative, you are receiving Christ. Do you realize that you're having dinner with Jesus when one of his servants comes into your home? Because he said, he that receiveth you, receiveth me. And I know if the Savior were to come, you would say, yes, I want him. But when one of his servants come, you do not realize that you are receiving Jesus when you receive that servant. But the Savior said, he that receiveth you, receiveth me. And so for that reason, the Lord said, I must have representatives who are above criticism. And he gives a briefing, and that briefing is found in quite a bit of detail in Luke chapter 10. When he was with them, he listened to their criticisms, and he agreed with the criticisms, or criticized them himself, or he set aside their criticisms. So often when people said, why are your disciples violating the Sabbath day? He said, they are not violating the Sabbath day. If they were not guilty of solecisms, the Lord Jesus would defend them. And if they did make mistakes, he was the first to tell them, Simon, I have something to say to you. The kings of the earth, from whom do they collect tribute or toll? If they made a mistake, the Savior would tell them. But if he found out that they were not guilty of making a mistake, he would always defend them. It made no difference how important the person was that was criticizing his ignorant and unlearned fishermen that were his followers. I wonder if there is that loyalty in you. Or if someone lashes out against a servant of God and you think that they are wrong, I wonder if you come to their defense. The Lord Jesus always did. There was loyalty, but there was not false loyalty. And if Satan spoke through Peter, he would say, get thee behind me, Satan. And if a woman spoke certain words or a centurion spoke certain words, he would say, I've not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. The Lord Jesus was always open and honest. And so for that reason, he said, you're going to represent me, and I shan't be there to evaluate the criticisms they make of you. So what I'm going to do is this. I'm telling you what you should do and should not do. And if you follow my instructions and they criticize you still, then I will defend you. You've done nothing that is wrong. Here is what we found in past weeks. That the behavior of our Savior was reprehensible in the eyes of the world and polite people. But it was not to him. And if they behaved as the Savior behaved, he would never criticize them. He would rebuke people that would criticize them. If they engaged in religious conversations, why, he would say, that's what you're supposed to do. That's why I'm sending you out into the world to preach the gospel. And at the same time, if he saw the guest seeking the highest place, and they said, you should not seek the highest place, you should seek the lowest place, he would never criticize them for that. And if the host had invited the wrong people, he would never criticize them for criticizing the host, saying, why, I see the people you have here today. Do you not understand that you should instead invite the halt, the lame, the blind, the maimed? He would not criticize them for that. And if a man says, it's so wonderful about going to heaven, and they said, are you sure you're going to heaven? The Lord Jesus would never criticize them about that. Do you understand? That is the important thing. The things that you would criticize the servants of God for, the Lord Jesus would congratulate them for. But there are certain things that he tells them, now if you fail to observe the things I am telling you in this briefing, then you will be rude. You will be worthy of criticism. And so for this reason, the things that I told you about, you probably would not do, and the Savior said, you are all wrong as my child. And yet, nobody would criticize you as being rude at a meal. However, the Savior said, now I'm sending you out as my representatives, and these are some of the things that you must not do. He said, when you go to a city, you have to find out who in that city is a son of peace. And then you go to the house of that son of peace, and you have to say, I want room and board from you for an indefinite period, and I'm not going to give you anything in return for it. What would you think of a preacher that came to your house and said that to you? You would say, I've never heard of such a thing. That's exactly what the Savior told them to do. He said, take no money, take nothing extra, they have nothing, He said, now go to a town and find a son of peace. And when you find that son of peace, go into his house and stay in his house and eat the things that he gives you. What is he telling you? He's telling that you have to go and ask for free room and board, and that is when you would begin to criticize a servant of God. You say, yes, I don't like people inviting themselves to my home. That is something else I want to tell you about. The Lord Jesus never thought it rude to invite himself to your home. When Zacchaeus was up that sycamore tree, he said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at my house. Who invited him to Zacchaeus' house? You say, he invited himself. Well, of course he did. And these servants that he's sending out, he says, you go to somebody's house and you find out who's there, and they will soon learn that you are penniless, that you have nothing to pay, that all you have is the message of the kingdom of God to give. Do you understand? And so you say, well, these things are so contrary to everything that is ingrained into me. Well, of course, that's the reason that the first time I went and met with those that gathered to the name of the Lord, everything seemed so wrong. And the reason it did, I was not conversant with what the Word of God said about what New Testament Christianity was. I knew what denominationalism was. I knew what man said about these things, but I did not know what the Word said. And when I saw what the Word said and what man did, then I felt uncomfortable among the denominations. And I felt right at home among those that followed New Testament principles. And so in like manner, you must go the next step and understand what is rudeness and what is politeness and what is obedience to the Savior and what is disobedience to the Savior. And see the things that he considers important, and please accept them as being important, and disregard as unimportant the things that he has set aside as being unimportant. Why? Because he knows. And be prepared to be criticized as rude and as uncouth because you have obeyed the Savior, rather than to be spoken of as one who has the finest of manners, and yet you've disobeyed everything that the Lord told you to do. All right. Two things I want to consider for a while, and one of them is this, that the man, having invited himself into your house for an indefinite stay, the Savior says there's nothing wrong with that. Do you understand that there are certain privileges that I have as a minister of God, and you are to respect those privileges? If I come to your house and say, I want to stay here, and I want you to feed me, and I want you to care for me, you should not consider that I'm overstepping my bounds. I'm simply doing what the Savior said. He said, the laborer is worthy of his hire. And so you say, that's fine, as long as you go to some other Christian's home and ask that. What do you think the Savior meant when he said, if you followed me, whatever you may have sold, forsaken, given up for me, he said, in this world, you will have 100-fold of fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters and houses. And the only way that I can have 100-fold of houses, if your house is mine. Don't you understand that? If not, the Savior has misinformed me, telling me I shall have 100 houses. How? Who owns 100 houses? Do you see? But if your house is my house, and I can go and say, I need room and board, then if your house is turned over to me, then I have 2 houses, and there are houses to which I go. And so we should prepare ourselves the way that the Savior tells us to. So, he makes it so embarrassing because it may be that if I loved you and I saw you were of a certain disposition, I would say, I'm going to come and eat with you today. I'm going to stay at your house if I loved you enough. But if not, I would never consider asking you for anything. And so it's a great honor when a person does that. And you have to search out that person. You say, why? He said, go to a city and find out in that city who is worthy. Now, I've known you. Would I ever think of coming to some of your homes? I've been coming here for years. Would I ever think of you as a worthy one? I know this person is hospitable. They would open their home. They would not feel inconvenienced. Could I? Well, answer that question in your heart. The Savior said, find out who in that city is worthy. And people know. Just like the ones that are hospitable, the ones that put their shoulder to the wheel, the ones that are dependable. Why, the people of God know. In Goldsboro, I remember I'd been there for years. And visitors would come in, and my wife and I entertained visitor after visitor. Why? The others would not do it. They simply would not do it. Why? Well, you tell me. Why do you not do it? The responsibility is not that of a few, but of the worthy ones. And I want to be accounted worthy by God. And so think of this. If someone comes to my house and says, I want to stay with you, then he has accounted me as being a worthy man in that city. And the rest, he would not come and intrude upon them. He has checked you off as being unworthy. Do you see? And so in God's sight, are you worthy or unworthy? Could someone feel free to come to your home and say, I want to stay here indefinitely? He's doing the true word of God. Understand, I'm not speaking of false, unworthy servants, but these are servants that God has sent forth, and they are doing a work of God. Tell me, are you prepared to accept the great obligation that Christ has placed upon every child of the family of God? How great is the responsibility of the preacher? How great is the responsibility of those that are to show hospitality? But that's something that is forgotten, and so we can set that aside. But let's think on it a little more. The Savior says, first, find out who is worthy, and then go into that house and stay in that house. Go not from house to house. Do you see what the Savior is doing? He is saving his servants from criticism. Suppose I came to your house and you were a worthy one, but I found out that somebody else had a better house, a more comfortable house, a more luxurious house. And I said, well, thank you for the stay that I've had at your home, but now I'm going over to this house. Tell me, would you understand about what kind of servant of God I was? Why, of course you would. You could see through me immediately. The Savior says, go not from house to house. So, here is the responsibility of the servant of God to find out one that is worthy, and that means that one that is worthy, what he possesses are the headquarters for you when you're doing the work of God, if circumstances are similar to those in Luke chapter 10. And so for that reason, it is not the accommodations, but it is one who is worthy. And you put these things together and you say, well, this one has a more commodious home, but that one will not open the home. That person should. But here is a worthy one, and so you go to that home. And for that reason, I've been in homes in ever so many places, and I found out the ones that are worthy, the ones that Christ calls worthy. Now, if I were like this, and this is how all the assemblies got started in Raleigh. There was a brother named Lester Wilson, and if I recall the facts correctly, he went to the house in Raleigh of Brother Jimmy Chapel and Sister Letha, and he stayed there and stayed there and stayed there and stayed there. And you are here today because that woman opened her home and showed hospitality to that man. He would go down the country and preach. He would go up the country and preach. And the meeting was started and built up. And we have assemblies in Raleigh. Why? Because a woman opened her home. Let me ask you, have you ever heard of one named Lydia, a seller of purple? You say yes. Well, tell me, once she was saved, immediately, what did she offer to Paul and his companions? She said, if you have counted me worthy, come into my home. And they counted the woman worthy. And now you have inspired servants of God, your house filled with servants of God. And this woman said, if you have counted me worthy. How remarkable. But think of your attitude and mine. And I'm telling you these things because as we go along, you will see that I would be probably more guilty than you in some of the things. But this woman said, here is my home. It's like baptism. Now, you have to persuade people once they've trusted Christ to become baptized. That isn't the New Testament way. It's taken for granted that once they trust Christ as Savior, they're going to submit to Christian baptism. And the Ethiopian eunuch, as Philip was preaching to him, he said to Philip, here is water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? Do you see? Not Philip. Now, if you trust Christ, you should be baptized. The eunuch said, here is water. Why are you not going to baptize me? Here is Lydia. Paul did not say, please let us come to your house. We have no place to stay. She said, if you've considered me worthy, then come into my home. Do you see? That is your attitude, and that is my attitude, or is it? Or are you one who says, well, these people should be taken care of. It's too bad that they're not being cared for. You must assume this responsibility because there is this detachment, this lack of closeness among the people of God, and we come, but we never learn one another. But let someone in your home, and you do learn them. You say, but it's inconvenient. Did not God know that? Is it not inconvenient for this preacher who goes and he has to stay in this little place of one that is worthy when he could go from house to house? He soon finds out those that have large things, good things to eat in store, and the ones that are well-to-do and could make you comfortable. But the Savior said, go not from house to house. He is going to remain above reproach, and the servant of God should do that. I remember, sad to say, one of the first times I was taken out by an older brother to a woman who had accommodations. I thought we were going to stay in one room. And he went to the woman and he said, do you have two rooms, one for him and one for me? That was fine. But here we went into the home and instead of accepting it, there was, do you have two rooms? I won't give you all the circumstances, but perhaps it would be if she said, look, you'll be too crowded together. I have two rooms. Do this. So think on those things when you are among the worthy ones and be practical. If you are worthy and another is worthy and someone is coming with many children and you have a large house, then open your home. But if another is coming and perhaps he's by himself, then you can open your home. You can use practical sense, practical reasoning about these things. But the Savior says, my servant is going to be above reproach. He cannot go from house to house choosing anything he wants. And he says this. He says, and when you go into that house, you eat whatever things they give. It means that some people are poor and they cannot give you feasts day by day. Whatever things they give, you eat. I know that because he says again, eat what is set before you. But before that he says, eat such things as they give. Either they are able to give or they are prepared to give. Because some people, when you go into their homes until they learn you, they will give you little things. After they learn you and love you, they will give you much. And so at the time, accept just what they give you and have no complaints. The Savior said that. And he also said, eat what is set before you. Now, that is difficult because some women, when you come into their home, they say, that means I can serve anything I want, good or bad, and set it before him. And the Bible says, and I had one sister say, eat what is set before you. Well, that is true. But I'm thinking that perhaps this can be taken into consideration. There were such things as the cleaning of pots and vessels, ceremonial cleanness and uncleanness. And there would be some who went into a home and would see his host, and he hasn't been so careful about cleaning the pots and pans from defilement. And I don't know if I can eat what is set before me. Brother, tell me, is this food ceremonially clean? Do you see? And not only that, but do you remember when the Savior told those demons to go into the swine and the swine were drowned? What if you were staying with someone who happened to be a keeper of swine? You would want to know, don't you understand that according to the book of Leviticus, we're not to have anything to do with swine? I don't know if I can eat this food that is set before me. The Savior says that when you go into a person's home, all of these things that God's Word does require, unless they are pressed upon you, then you may overlook them. You may eat what is set before you. And so taking that interpretation, it's not that you can put anything you want before me. Is it ceremonially unclean? That is what I am to eat, whether it is ceremonially unclean or not. Do you understand? Or it may be, and I think it does include this, it includes a fastidiousness, because some people come in and they will eat nothing. You have seen them, and it's so hard, and it's unworthy of a child of God. And so I say with shame that I have to be ever so careful when I go into a person's home, because there are things I like to eat and I do not like to eat. I remember this. I was taken out with some friends to a restaurant, and the man who took me, he was looking at the menu, and he said, I don't know what I want. He said, just bring me whatever you choose. And so the woman put down whatever she wanted. She turned to me and she said, do you want me to bring you whatever I choose? I said, no. Are there any other foods you don't have listed on the menu? And so the woman said, no, what is there? And so I chose precisely what I wanted. And so it is fine if you're coming to my house and I know that you are diabetic or you dislike certain foods, or if you have an aversion to pork or some certain foods, I don't have to force it on you and say, eat what is set before you. It could be a considerate thing to ask that. But if it does arise, I thank God, like some of the missionaries were telling me, he said, oh yes, he said, when we go among the natives, he said, many times, or I'll ask, what are we being served today? And he'll say, we're being served monkey, do you see? And so they eat that. And he said that the terrible thing, he may have been teasing me, is when they serve you the soup and you see the monkey eyes in the soup. And so you eat what is set before you. It's not always pleasant to do that. But if you follow the word of God, and some of these dear servants of God are such faithful servants that they would eat anything that was set before them. And the Savior understands that. And he says, if his servants are so fastidious, you see, if his servants are so choosy that they can't stay in this humble home, then people will look upon you and say, what kind of messenger from God is this? Do you understand? And so for that reason, let me take this to heart. You take it to heart being the host, and I shall take it to heart being the visitor. And one time I can recall this, and I rejoice in it, that I went to this meeting in a distant city, and there were well-to-do people, and there was this poor farmer. And before anybody spoke to me, the poor farmer came and said, Mr. Mills, I want you to come and eat with me today. I said, certainly, I'll be glad to. I think I was single at that time. So, after the meeting was over, the well-to-do people said, you're to come and eat with us today. I said, this brother told me to go to his home. And the person said, why, they are poor people. They have nothing. You should come and eat with us. I said, no, I would not hurt their feelings for anything. And so we went out to their home in the country, and this man had beef cattle, and he had dairy cattle, and he had fresh vegetables and strawberries and whipped cream, and he put a meal on the table that those wealthy people couldn't put on the table. That time I was prepared to go and take what they gave, but this time I was surprised and I rejoiced in it. But this is the way it is. I know a dear brother who was invited out, and this sister prepared butter beans and garden peas and things like that, and he sat down and he ate everything that was set before him. And afterwards he said, I don't know how I did it. She put everything on the table that I can't stand. But he was a gentleman, and he ate it. And so at times it calls for that. But after you know a person, well, you don't have to enforce that upon them and say, the Scripture says, eat what is set before you. But you see that God wants the host and the hostess to behave in a certain way, and he wants the visitor to behave in a certain way. And so I shall remember and I shall try to be polite, because the Savior says it is impolite when you behave in a way that is contrary to what I am telling you now. The Savior wants you to understand that. But one other thing the Savior wants you to know. He says you are to give them the gospel. I must tell you this. He said you are to tell them the kingdom of God has come nigh to you. And I am liable to feel these people are so poor I can't take anything from them. The Savior says the laborer is worthy of his hire. He says this no less than four times in the Bible. Because I am liable to feel, Lord, I'm not worthy. I can't take this from these people. The Savior said, you can. You're worthy of your hire. That puts me at ease. No matter what you gave me for preaching the truth of God to you here, it's not too much. I'm worthy of it. The Savior has said, the laborer is worthy of his hire. And so I'll never feel embarrassed. Because I know the pricelessness of the word of God that I give to you. But notice, he's telling his servants, trying to keep them from being embarrassed, you are not sponging on people, and if I come to your home and stay, you are not doing anything for me that you should not do. I am worthy of my hire. Remember that concerning the servants of God. The Savior has said it. He says it in 1 Corinthians 9. The Savior ordained that they that preach the gospel should live of the gospel. He's quoting from Luke chapter 10. And in 1 Timothy 5, it says, the laborer is worthy of his hire. It's quoted again and again and again. Why? Because the servant of God is not going to be embarrassed as if he went through life and people gave handouts. I earn what I am given as much and more than any of you that labor all the work that you do, whatever it might be. The Savior has told me that. But then I'm to respect you and I'm to be sure that what I give you is the finest of the wheat. And by God's grace, I've tried to do that. So, the Savior puts both of us at ease. The responsibility, yes, the responsibility of him who comes to preach, and the responsibility of those to whom he goes to stay. And the Savior says, you give them a chance of being saved. The kingdom of God has come nigh, and if they accept it, then you brought the peace of God into that home. What is worth more than the peace of God brought into a home? Salvation, the forgiveness of sins through the precious blood of Christ today. The kingdom of God, a certain place in heaven. And then, how sad if this person turns out to be unworthy and is not a son of peace. And the Bible says your peace returns again to you, and you shake off the dust of your feet, and you go, and you leave that person, and you say to him, nevertheless, the kingdom of God came nigh. So, dinner with Jesus, so much he tells us, let us behave as citizens of earth as well as citizens of heaven. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, forgive us for our rudeness in the sense that thy Son considers rudeness. Forgive us for our disobedience in not doing those things that men consider rudeness that thy Son considers essentials in being children of God. Help us to understand that we are not our own, that we are purchased with a price, that our homes are not our own. And considering that, Father, we who do go into homes, help us to respect the property of others and not to take advantage of these things. But let us be Christian ladies and gentlemen and show respect for one another and consideration of one another. Help us to remember that thy Son tells us what is right and wrong, what is polite and impolite. And so let us enjoy these truths about having dinner with Jesus. In the name of our Savior, we pray. Amen.